Welcome to the Neurodiverse Toolbox with Sheila Kieschlin and Paige Kieschlin.
Morning, Paige.
Good morning, Mom.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm okay. Kind of busy, but okay.
Yeah, I got that.
What are we talking about today?
Talking about college.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely college.
How do you feel about college?
I don't like it.
You didn't like it.
Okay. I do not like it. As a child, well.
Either experience the going away to college or the
going away to, I mean, like the. I don't. I didn't like the going away part, but that might have been other. That was other issues.
That also could have been your age at the time, right? You were younger.
18, yeah. The learning wasn't terrible. No, the learning was terrible. I am the. Well, no, the person. What are they called? The people
advisor.
Who were supposed to help you choose the classes that you take.
Your advisor.
The advisor didn't do a very good job of advising. And for my first semester, I took a class that was meant for like a third or fourth year nursing student when I majored in education and was a freshman. So, and it was over halfway through the semester when the teacher told me, like, why are you in this class? This class isn't meant for you. I was like, that explains all of the high-tech language and stuff. All right. And I couldn't drop it because it was too late.
It would have been nice if they had mentioned something sooner.
Yes. It would have been.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, and then you did community or college for a
I
while.
I did do community college, that was fine. I did better in that. I had more support, though. Like, at my four-year university, I didn't get, like, my benefit. Like, one of the benefits that I had was automatic, like, the translate, like, audio
accommodations. Yeah.
Yeah, that accommodation was only met, like, after midterms had already happened. So I went the first half of my semester without books. I'm not saying that that was like the reason I failed, because it's not part of the reason, but I am also to
blame. I'm sure it's a large part, though, because you couldn't keep up with the reading.
It was a lot of reading. It's a lot of reading. Do not be fooled. You have to do a lot of reading. The books are thick. And if you're not good at reading, then it's a struggle. Like, I read slow. I can read, just putting it out there. I know how to read. I'm just slower at it.
Right, because you get distracted.
That is to blame with Little Paige. Little Paige is to blame for that.
No, I think that's just the ADHD. It's just you get distracted when you're reading. And so you have to like reread things or whatever. So it just goes slowly. How might somebody determine if college is for them? Because lots of people with ADHD do go to college. And I know lots of people with ADHD that have master's degrees, right? So
good. Maybe talking to an advisor, like in high school. Like, you're supposed to have, like, this advisor who's supposed to advise you. Maybe asking them or talking to your I think they're called case managers. Whatever Dirk was. Him. You know who
case
I'm
manager.
Talking.
Yep.
Case manager. Okay, that just sounds.
So, in high school, you have a case manager.
Yes, in high school. Talk to
if
those
you have
people.
A 504. Yes. If you so happen to have a 504 or an IEP, some students
don't
get it because they never get a diagnosis.
Oh, okay. Well, then in
don't
that
want
case,
them to be labeled. So
great.
I also think you could talk to, like, if you know somebody who's older who's in college, so if you have like a cousin or an older sibling, to get a real, like,
Feel
this
for
is
what it is,
the
because
workload, an actual,
they
like, this is what a typical day looks like for me kind of
don't prepare you.
experience.
They don't tell you. And as a senior in college or high school, I was tricked. Pure trickery. Oh, it's just like high school, only you're held more, you're not as held accountable because you're an adult now. That's a lie. I mean, it's not a lie. It's not completely a lie, but it's more than just that.
It is, because the time blindness becomes a bigger issue when you go to
Yes,
college.
someone's not on you.
I'd say it's also like, or I always advocate this for my clients. I think it's a great idea to do your first 2 years at community college.
That's what I should have done.
Your 4-year degree after you graduate from a university does not have an asterisk next to it saying that you did the first 2 years somewhere else. And I think community college
It's
does
cheaper
a
too.
better, it's a lot cheaper, but it also, I think, does a better job supporting students who have trouble learning for whatever reason. And you're still living at home, right? So you still have that support
Support.
from home if you need it, right? So it's sort of a halfway stepping out step instead of a full, like, jump. I also think it's great for people with ADHD to take a gap year. Or autism, or dyslexia, or who just feel like they're a little immature. I think but with
A
like
gap year.
with a real plan of, this is my plan to go back, and this person is going to help me apply to
Right.
colleges, right? Because if you're just like, oh, I'm not going to go to school and I'm gonna whatever, that you end up not going to back, right? So you need to have a real concrete plan. But I think a gap year is a great idea for people who, right? Because if the, I don't know if we've talked about this. So the ADHD brain is about 30% behind as far as executive function skills go.
You
So
and I
that
have talked about it. I don't
you
think
and
we've
I
talked
have
about it
talked
on
about it.
here.
I don't know if we have, right? So a 16-year-old is like handing your car keys over to a 12-year-old, which I went and did. Personally, I was thrilled the day you were like, oh, wait. And I was
Thanks.
like, yes. That means your 18-year-old is a like 15. That's like a sophomore in high
You're not
school.
ready
They're
to go
not
away.
ready to do all that planning and organization and like all those skills completely on their own, right? Some 15-year-olds are, but most of them, not so much. They still need, they're not done, right? Cooking, they're not done cooking. So I think a gap year is a good idea. Or I think starting college, right? Because it's not their intellect that's behind. So maybe you're bored, right? So then go to college, but do community school. So what did you learn?
What did I learn through my college experience?
Or just when you're researching, or either, whatever you want to answer. What any.
Well, I use, well, I when I went to after I did UNC for the year, I did stick out for the whole year. I
You
will
did.
say I didn't drop out halfway through the school year. I stuck with it for
You
a
did.
year and then went to community college. And in community college, I didn't ask for my books to be audioed, and I just bought them as an audio already. So you save money on the book too. It's like called Bookshelf or something, and you can either buy it Or some of the books allow you to rent them, so you only have the book for like 6 months or something like that, or like a year, and you can like highlight and make notes on it, and it reads to you.
So
I
it's a
think you might
digital
be able
copy
to
of the
like,
book.
yeah. So I didn't, because when I went to Front Range, I decided to change the major to being a paralegal. And those books are even bigger and even more complex to read.
Indeed.
Law books are intense. But that was helpful. Also didn't do as many. Well, I did some of them. And then that way you're also not stuck with these books that you don't necessarily need. The law books were weird because the teacher for one of them was like, these will expire. Like, these aren't, they like are updated every year. So, and they're like $200 each. And there was like three of them.
You
But
also did part-time school when you
I did part-time school. I've worked full-time now.
Right. I'm just saying, like, so sometimes part-time is a better
Yeah, I
option.
did like two classes or one class. I chose the slow route. So if you don't mind paying for doing school for like 8 years, you can do that.
You
It
can. I mean, there's
was
no
it's
one path.
less. There is no one path. You can also do like go into the trade and do like trade school if you're interested in any of that. Ian and Ian's mother and you apparently really think that I would be good at as a CNA.
I
When
do.
I was looking for other jobs, a bunch of job for my location for whatever reason in Great Falls, there is a need for registered nurses.
There's a need for nurses everywhere. There's a
There's like
nationwide
90,
shortage.
95% of the jobs that were listed were RNs. And I jokingly was like, maybe I should go to nursing school. He's like, you could do that. I was like, I cannot do that.
You
I mean, I
can do
could.
that.
I could, I'm sure, but I don't know.
There's a national shortage of nurses and
Why?
CNAs.
Really? A shortage? I know there's a teacher shortage, but I didn't know the nurses were also in a
Oh,
shortage. Why?
like a
I
in a
know why
terrifying way.
teachers are. But nurses?
Yeah.
There's not enough caring people in the world?
Nursing is it's a demanding job. And so
Right,
people
yeah,
get
it's hard work.
really, it's like, but it's not just like physically difficult. It's like intellectually, you're like tracking these patients. Hospitals are expecting people to take care of more and more patients, right? So it used to
Stressful.
be like, yeah, it's stressful. It's emotionally, right? And like, if you make a mistake, it could be a big
Cost of
deal as a
life.
nurse,
Yeah.
right? It's not like,
Like,
you know,
oopsies.
no, there's no oopsies
There's
in
no
medicine.
oopsies when you're taking care of a sick person.
No, there's really no oopsies in medicine. So there's this big national shortage. So it's, you know, if you become a CNA, you get a job pretty easily because
Right. They need
everybody
people.
wants, see, they do,
I got
right?
you.
So, plus you do just have to be a really special, caring person to do that job. Not,
Yeah.
so if you're listening, I'm not telling everybody to be a CNA. I was telling Paige to be a CNA because it's not the right job for everybody. It's a hard job, right? It's emotionally,
Like if you get attached to the person, like you're taking care of this person for an extended period of time, you're going to develop a connection with them,
Which is good.
which is good. Yes, that is good, but it just sucks when you know they eventually die.
Exactly.
Because eventually that will happen, which is sad.
It is. But
That would also
your
be
life
a
is always
difficult
better
part.
for every relationship you have or every connection that you have in life. Your life is improved, even though
Really?
it's sad when that person passes away. Sure.
Is that true?
Good positive connections. I'm not talking
Right.
about crappy
Negative ones.
boyfriends.
Right.
Yes, we're
Interesting.
we I've said this before. We're pack animals. We're supposed to have relationships and connections with people. So, yes, our lives are always improved. And so this idea of like protecting yourself and not having relationships is not
Bad.
healthy. It's not healthy.
I got you. Friends. Okay. My circumstance was weird because I went away. So my school from where we used to live in Colorado to where I went to school was like 45 minutes away. I didn't drive. There were other things go like I was in the middle of like when I was at UNC, I was getting there. We were like doing the things for like autism and stuff, and
Testing.
I was sad, probably depressed. And
Anxious.
the only friend that I had there dropped out halfway through the year because she couldn't handle it. And I and she was the only person that I mean, like, I knew other people on the campus because I like it was one of the more popular schools that was it that people would go to from my school. So I knew other people. I just the friend making was I was I've never been good at making friends. But so anxiety and all of that, it was a bad. Also wasn't like what's the word called? Advocate. I didn't advocate for myself when I needed to, and there
No,
was no one else around me
which
who
is
was going to do
probably
that. I
the,
didn't have mommy to help me.
there's probably a lot of the anxiety, right? It was just a combination of stuff that just did not make the experience great. You probably
It's a
should
good
have.
school. UNC is a good school. And I'm not saying that they are to blame at all.
No, I'm just saying, with 2020 hindsight, we probably should have made you do a year or two of community school.
That might have been
Right? That
better.
probably would have been a good step, but 2020
It's
hindsight
okay.
is not very helpful.
It's not. That's okay, though.
So, yeah. What did you learn when you were researching about college and ADHD? You did research? What did you learn? No? Yes?
No.
What
How was your
about
college experience, Mom?
as
I
a
know it was,
dyslexic?
yes, as a
Many
dyslexic.
years ago, as a
Many
dyslexic,
years ago,
many years
there could
ago?
still be the same problems, Mom.
I'm sure there are.
We want to hear everyone's story.
College was probably where I really learned, like, oh, if I don't keep a day timer, I'm gonna like completely mess this up. Right. So, my first semester, I probably got the worst grades I ever got because I was a little erratic. I wasn't good at time management. I didn't fail anything. Right. But like, I didn't do stellar. After that, I was like, okay. And my parents also put in this thing of like, we want you to focus on school. So, you can't have a job and you can't, like we don't want you to get involved in too much and we want you to really like just study. And that really just doesn't work for my brain. If I'm not busy, then nothing
Right.
gets done. So the second semester, it did take a job and I had classes and I discovered that if I keep a day timer, I do much better. Right. So that really helped. I also sort of learned that semester that if I stayed out of my dorm room except to sleep, I was much more productive. Right. So in between classes, I would go to the library to study. So I had to do very little studying at night. I did most of my studying during the day. I switched my major twice.
Ice.
Could not figure out really what I wanted to do. So until the end, but I still graduated on time. Reading was a huge issue, right?
Right.
Because they didn't have audio, like there were, they
Right.
existed, but it was mostly like audiobooks for like the blind, which I certainly didn't qualify for.
Right.
And they certainly weren't textbooks, right? They were like, you know, stories, right? Novels. So I had to read, like I had to figure it out, right?
Right.
And I studied art history for the bulk of the time that I was there, even though I changed my major twice. I always took an art history class. Those are some large books.
I've
I
seen
also
them.
ended up my sophomore and my junior year, I also ended up working for the like major art history professor, like the head of the department. I worked for her. So that was really helpful. Right, to like get to know her really well. A, it was really helpful because she always gave me the benefit of the doubt when she was grading for like reports. So anything like back when I was in school, it was you had a midterm and you had a final, and you had like two major papers you had to write. So four grades, that's all I had for a class. Sometimes there was only one paper, so it was three grades. You mess one of those up, you're in big trouble. Right. So for the paper, which actually weighed more than the tests, like she knew me really well, right? So like she sort of always gave me the benefit of the doubt if I did something wrong or if I said something or if I didn't quite do everything I should have. Although I think I do better in papers than on exams. So I think my papers were good, but she knew me, right? So I also like some of the jobs I did for her were to like label all of her slides, which were unlabeled. So to like look at the pictures, it'll look at the pictures and identify them by like name of the painting or sculpture, the artist and the year, right? So some of them I knew off the bat from class, but like some of them were from classes I hadn't taken yet or from classes that I had taken so long ago. So I would always have to like research or look things up or whatever. There was another girl in the office who was also doing it. So between the two of us, it was like a study group all the time about art, which was super helpful. I don't know what else. I really liked college. I loved college. I
Good.
loved being away from my family. No offense, mom and dad. But I was just at that point that I needed to not be home anymore, right? I met dad, so that was awesome, right? I did a semester overseas, which is cool. I think if you can swing it for your major and travel overseas, you should, because there's lots of learning just to go to another country and be immersed in another culture. But I'd say like for today's students, you know, 40%, the last statistic I heard was that 40% of all college students are on some kind of anti-anxiety medication. That is a large
It's a
number,
large number.
right? I had to say, like, when I was in school, I maybe knew two people who were taking an anti-anxiety med, right? Like, it just was not as common. And for, like, I guess, good and bad things, right? Like, it was probably underdiagnosed, right? But I think also like the invention of the internet and kids being spending more time on their phone than with actual people is damaging to how they're developing, right? So, right. So I'd say, you know, if you're gonna go to college and you feel like you're ready for it, You need to make sure that you're setting up things to make yourself be successful,
Yes.
right? So you're, and that, like, I'm talking about like basic self-care things. You need to make sure you have a plan to work out. You need to make sure, or move your body in some way. You don't have to go to the gym. Go for a walk. I don't care. But you need to be doing that. You need to, students are always like, I can't sleep. I'm a college student. I hear this a lot from my student clients. You have to
No,
sleep. This is when your brain needs to work really well. You're in college. You're
Yeah.
learning things. If you're not sleeping well, that means the information that you're learning is not being moved to the back of your brain where the storage of learned information is. So
Long-term memory.
you really, 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 really need to sleep. Like, that's not just a, like, it's not a mom kind of thing. Like, that's how the brain functions. You need to sleep. You need to eat well, right? So if that means like you need to like find a buddy to go walking with or go to the gym with, or you need to like have like live in a room where like you're the only one in your room so that you can maintain good sleeping habits. And then you need to make sure you can do that, right? If you have ADHD or autism or learning disability, you need to take full advantage of the disability, the disability
Services.
service centers, and make sure that you're getting, like tests in a different room, or you're getting audiobooks are different now than they were when you were in school,
Yeah.
or you're getting, I don't know, whatever it is that you think you need in order to learn, right? So if that means you need copies of the teacher's notes or slides in advance, then you need to advocate to get that. Right? Because sometimes like seeing it for the first time on the screen isn't what you need, right? Or I have one client who has ADHD and really bad anxiety, but she also has type 1 diabetes. So she has accommodations like she can eat and drink in any classroom, even if they're
Yes.
classrooms where you can't typically eat or drink, she
Right,
can.
because life is more important.
Diabetes trumps the carpeting in that room for sure. Right. And she also like is allowed to miss more classes though, right? Which both works for and against her, right? Like, yes, she
Yeah.
misses more classes for a medical reason, but now she's still missed that class, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's imperative for students with ADHD to go to office hours. I don't think this should be an option. I think this should be like in your schedule as something you should do every week. Because a large portion of students who go to college with ADHD end up leaving and not going back, right? Like only 15% of students, I think that's the last statistic I heard. So check me on that. 15% graduate in 4 years, right? Some programs are set up to be 5 years. Maybe you purposely pick a program like that. Maybe, right? Or maybe you decide to just go part time, right? Get a
Yeah.
job that's sort of in the field and go part time. Or, I don't know, right? Like, but it has to be just a not an I'm going to jump into this. It has to be a like well thought out, planned. So people with ADHD aren't great at well thought out future planning. That means you need to talk to other people, right? That means you need to like crowdsource, talk to your mom, talk to your dad, talk to older siblings, talk to older cousins, talk to older friends, talk to counselors, talk to the counselor at the school, talk to like as many people as you can to make sure you have a good plan. Get a coach, whether it's me or somebody else. Right? Set yourself up for success. What else?
My community college, we had a writing center, and
Mm-hmm.
one of my I think it was English composition. One of the requirements for one of the pa for like I think every single paper was that you took it to the writing center because the teacher worked in the writing center. And then I did it for all of my classes that I had papers in because they even help you like if you had like I have trouble like finding things to like just like if it's like an open like talk about like whatever you want. I'm not
That's
good at
too
that.
open.
Like you need to give me a topic to write about, otherwise I'm not gonna know what to do. So
No, that's too broad.
they help you like find a topic and they'll like peer review your paper basically. They're like other teachers, other English teachers, but they like peer review it and like help you with it and it was super helpful.
Most college campuses have,
I think there was also the same thing for math too. I think there was a math one. I think I did more well on my. There was a reason that I didn't have to take a math class when I went to my community college, and I don't remember why. I took a test and they were like, you don't need to take one. And I don't know if it's because I took one at UNC or if I just did super well on my ACT in math. I don't think I did.
You did take a math class at UNC, and my guess is that for
Because it was
being a paralegal, math wasn't.
Oh yeah,
Like you
math
didn't
wasn't
need
it. I did
anymore.
take I took like the lowest math class that you possibly had to take. It was super easy too. We did like one half times two thirds.
That's because
It
you were
was
an education
super
major.
simple math.
It was, but that's what it is for
Yeah.
education majors, right? Well, for
The math classes that I had, the math class, the single math class that I took at UNC, because I had to retake it and I failed both times. It was super weird. You were taught how to teach math, and you had
cool.
to like learn how to like do it in multiple ways. And I couldn't, I didn't
It was
understand.
the core math thing. You couldn't get a hold of how to teach in core math because you didn't grow up in a school district that made you use core, and they do now, but
What the
when
hell
you
is
went,
core math?
core math is, you know, all that like, let's take 500 steps instead of two steps to get to the same place. Is basically what it
Oh,
is.
that's dumb. Okay.
I'm not a big fan of core math, so if you are, sorry, I offended you, but I think
Sorry.
core math is stupid.
But
Yeah, that
apparently
was
it's different
different.
now. They teach it different ways. I don't know how Ian and I are going to help children someday in math because it's, or any of the subjects, because apparently it's changing a lot. Like, you know how you sometimes couldn't help me because you are like, what the hell is this? I don't
That
know
was
how
the
to help
core, that
you.
was the tail end, mo like the most of the core math. And then I went to the school district. I was like, this is ridiculous. To get her out of that class.
Apparently that's what's happening now. Like when I worked at the store in Broomfield, the so I don't know about, it doesn't seem to be the case here, but at the store in Broomfield, most of the courtesy clerks, like the baggers and stuff, were in high school.
It's, yeah.
Because that's the only job that they can do because they can't do anything else. They're too young. But apparently, supposedly, according to the manager, he would like talk about World War II with these two. Like he mentioned something to do with World War II, and the kids had no idea what they were talking about. He was talking about. I was like, they're really
Yeah.
not teaching World War II. It's
Yeah.
like one of the most things I think we should know about. History,
Yeah.
we don't want it to repeat.
No, you're digressing.
Especially that.
College.
Sorry,
College. Anything else
digressing.
about college?
No. Do you
Okay.
have anything else?
No, I think I've said
I
everything
think
I.
I've said everything I want.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you wanted to coach with me, see my information at bigbangcoaching.net. If you are interested in emailing us, you can reach us at the ndtoolbox@gmail.com.
And if you wanted to see our website, please go to theneurodiversetoolbox.podbean.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Neurodiverse Toolbox.